everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Yes, today I am the blue collar hypnotist. So glad to see you. Hey, if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go to calbanyan.com right now, because right below here, right down there, are other texts, links, graphics that just make this podcast so much more valuable for you. And by the way, I haven't talked about this in a while. Become a VIP member. Right up there, there's a link. And what happens is you instantly get access to a complete index of all 300 and something podcasts that we've done. It's just listed by title. You can just go right there and click on the title that you're most interested in at that moment. And boom, there we are. Cal Banyan, L. Ron Ferguson, Meredith Locker, Celeste, Roy Hunter, Jerry Valley, the different people that I've worked with on this podcast, but especially L. Ron, Meredith, Celeste, and myself. Hey, speaking of Meredith, let me introduce Meredith to you. She's back, and it's so awesome to have Meredith with us for every single podcast that we've ever done. She's done 100 podcasts. This will be podcast 101. It is the Dalmatian of the Meredith podcast. She's a great person. She is a true 1%er, best of the best hypnotist. She sees clients in Los Angeles day and night. We were just talking about how she says she's just got to see less clients. So maybe she should start an internship program where some of her potential clients can start going and seeing some new hypnotherapists so they can get experience. And I could go on and on. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so good, Cal. Happy to be back. I want to make sure that everybody knows who you are, because in my 100th episode, I made it all about me, and now I need to make sure everybody knows about you.
Who the heck is that masked man?
So Cal is the reason that we have all of these free podcasts. He is, you know, he's got a master's in psychology like me. He is the one that trains the best of the best in the profession. He brought us Five Path, he created it. He also brought us Seventh Path, self-hypnosis, teach it to all my clients. And, you know, he's my mentor. He's the one that got me into an internship program, and that's why I do what I do and love what I love. And I probably should follow in your footsteps, Cal, and create a program like that really soon. Maybe I just will.
Awesome. Hey, what you been up to lately?
Well, gosh, just seeing a lot of clients mostly. It's been very, very busy.
I think you were writing a book. Why don't you get back and finish that doggone thing?
I need to get back and finish that doggone thing. That's for sure. I'm going to take some time during the holidays. I don't know. It usually slows down around the holidays, but even if it doesn't, I'm going to block out some time and get back to my writing. I got to get that thing published.
Cool. I'm like so excited about publishing. As everybody knows, I have several books on available, and one of the most popular places to get my books besides on this website and hypnosis.org is amazon.com, and they've all been Kindleized. I love Kindles. I got my Kindle right here, my Kindle Fire, and before that I had a regular Kindle, but I just love it. And I went to this e-publishing workshop, 3 days long. I learned so much. And I'm going to be working on a new script book in addition to my current script book, but this one is going to be expanding on how to use the universal script that I developed. And so kind of excited about that. I just finished another book that the manuscript is done. It's right here, but I'm not going to tell you guys what it is because it has nothing to do with the world of hypnosis. It has to do with my other world that I live in, my otherworldly existence. So, what you got for me today, Meredith?
All right, well, we're going to start out with a question that we have from a viewer, and it's kind of bouncing off of some previous podcasts where you got into inductions, some issues that might happen in inductions, and so he says, one thing that happened to me recently that I'm not sure how to handle. I had a client I was working with for pain management that I could tell had a long history of suppressing emotional pain. About the time I'd get the client beginning to relax, they'd come out, apparently out of going into hypnosis is what they mean, because they suddenly hurt someplace they had not had any discomfort until they got partially into hypnosis. And he's still having trouble getting him into hypnosis. So let's cover that, Cal. What thoughts do you have?
Hey, did that person give us permission to use their name?
I don't have their name, so I couldn't give it to you even if they did.
Okay, well, first, thank you for your question. Second is, you know, too many hypnotists out there, they think hypnosis is relaxation, or they think the only way to get someone into that heightened state of suggestibility that we call hypnosis is by relaxing them so much that they become suggestible. There are other ways. And gosh, you know, I think last episode, Meredith, you were asking me about things I do to speed things up, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. And we talked a little bit about the time tunneling technique. And I didn't talk about how I often, like I have my desk, I'm just sitting there at my desk like this, and my client is off there to my right, and they're telling me about their problem. And I'll just ask them, is it okay if I, you know, begin with the hypnosis at any time and get that permission? And they say yes. And then what I'll do is I will do the session right there at the desk with them sitting there as they're talking about it, and I get that, like, if I was this fellow, and I'm getting that inkling that, man, I think there's some real emotional stuff that's behind or associated with this pain. Well, you're talking that probably what's happening, or I would imagine if it was going on in my office, is that I'm seeing some emotion come up as they're talking about their situation, right? And then I'd say, gosh, where do you feel that feeling in your body, right? Ha-ha. And now I've started the time tunneling technique. And I'd say, close your eyes and tell me about that feeling. And as they tell me about the feeling, what's the rule of consciousness? That which you focus on expands, right? Becomes a bigger part of your consciousness. So as they tell me about that feeling, I'll ask them questions about it. I say, if it had a color, what would it be? If it had a shape, what would that shape be? If it could speak, what would it say? And as they're doing that, they're getting more and more connected to that feeling. And then I'll just say, beautiful. I'll say, yes, you're connected to it. I can tell because your breathing rate has changed, or you're cleansing your jaw, or whatever. Now, mentally, just go right into that feeling in your body, as if it was a tunnel to the past. Boom, and I can start the age regression right then. No formal induction, no convincers, no depth testing, nothing. Just bam. And I say, when you come out of the end of the tunnel, tell me if it's daytime or nighttime. And you say, but Cal, isn't it important to do depth testing and convincers and stuff like that? Not if you're a time tunneler. Not if you are an affect bridge age regression inductionist, which is another kind of version of this, but without the visualization of the tunnel. And in the last episode, I talked about why the time tunneling technique is so much more effective than affect bridge. It's more effective, more efficient, and more effective. So as why don't I use depth testing and convincers and that? Because when they come out at the other end of the tunnel and they are revivifying the experience that's associated with the symptoms or emotions that they're experiencing now, when they are reliving that event, they have to be at least stage 4 on the Harry-Aaron scale for that, or deeper, 5 and 6. And believe me, they're convinced. They, you know, it's like, wow, that was quite an experience. They'll come out of it and say, boy, that was strong, or that was real, or I had forgotten all about that, or I didn't know that that was associated with the problem. So that's what I recommend. When you find that for one reason or another, the person is too hyper or too nervous, or that if they relax, they fall asleep, or if they relax, they experience pain or jerky legs or whatever, and so relaxing them in hypnosis doesn't seem to work for them, then do the time tunneling technique and bam, you'll be there. How's that?
Sounds beautiful.
Awesomeonious.
Yes, I love it. I love it. So are you ready to change gears a little bit?
Absolutely. You know what? We had a nice little meeting before this, you viewers out there, before this, and I had a lot of coffee. Can you tell? I've got a lot of coffee in me. All right, I could probably do 3 podcasts in one podcast. So, yes, please move on to the next topic.
Ooh, exponential podcast action. I like it. I like it. Well, you know, I'm not going to get too much into the details about these, but what I've been seeing a lot in some of our groups, like our Yahoo groups lately, is, and I've even gotten some phone calls about this recently from different viewers around the world. It's always fun when I get to connect with you guys. But a lot of questions about using certain parts of Five Paths, such as age regression or forgiveness, in certain situations with certain clients, where practitioners are basically saying, hypnotists are saying, that it doesn't seem pertinent. It doesn't seem, maybe age regression doesn't seem pertinent in a certain case. For example, let's just cover that first. There was one posting recently where a hypnotist said, "I found that age regression is awesome for improving relationship patterns, but doesn't fit well when people are right at that point when things just fell apart, especially if they're on the verge of holding their daily functioning together." You know, how do you approach these situations? So it seems like this particular hypnotist doesn't really feel age regression would be appropriate in the case of someone falling apart because of a recent breakup. I wanted to get into that a little bit, Cal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'd love to get into that. But what I'd like you to do is, for some reason, this particular question caught your attention. You want to kind of give your side of it first?
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, I use age regression with practically every client. If I'm working with a really, really young child, I might not, or I might use a very abbreviated version of it. Or if I'm working with an athlete mid-season, I might not. But otherwise, no matter what I'm working with, no matter where they're at, and even especially when they're kind of falling apart the most, that's when we need to do age regression more. Not more necessarily, but that's when it's almost more important to do it, because obviously that situation is triggering old emotions from the past. And the more the old emotions from the past are neutralized through the age regression, and even through the forgiveness of others and forgiveness of self work, the better they'll be able to function in the now. So, you know, that's kind of my point of view about it. And I wanted to hear yours about it, if you see any other situations when maybe age regression would be too much for someone or wouldn't be appropriate.
You know, I agree with absolutely everything you said, and I wish more hypnotists out there understood at that level, because what we have often in relationships is people carry old baggage from earlier relationships or things with their family, you know, when they were a child, that caused them to overreact, to get too mad, too sad, and also to project things on that person that really that person is having nothing to do with, you know, thinking that their partner is up to something when really they're not. They just have this pattern, maybe from childhood, from a parent or uncle or sibling or something, where the person was always up to something, and so now they tend to project that on others. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. I'm trying. So you kind of hit me out of the blue. I'm trying to think of something I would not use age regression on. Is that what you want me to know, say?
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about before, I use age regression, gosh, for everything. I use Five Path, all the phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. I don't use phase five for everything because that's for secondary gain. Children, I use it on. Sports people, I use it on. But like Meredith said, we don't use age regression to cause when they are competing, because it can kind of scramble their eggs, you know, just kabooberate them for a little while. And they need to be on top of the game. So we use mostly direct suggestion and age progression work on them. But was there something you were thinking about that I would not use age regression for?
No, I just wanted people to hear that. because, yeah. You know, I'm seeing so much of it lately and I'm hearing so much of it lately. Like, for instance, I just got a call a couple days ago from a beautiful Five Pather who has a client who's seeing her for ADHD, or some people know it as ADD. The technical abbreviation is ADHD. And, you know, this particular client wants to get off of medication and wants help with you know, hypnosis to do that. And of course, under the supervision of a psychiatrist, not ever recommending as a hypnotist to a client to get off of medication or helping them do that, but the psychiatrist needs to dose them down. But, you know, was curious about whether to use age regression with this client and whether there's any benefit in using age regression with ADHD. And absolutely, yes, there is. You know, in my experience, a lot of people with ADHD are distracting by being distractible, distracting through distracting. And so just like the person who has a relationship issue, you know, all of these old fears and insecurities and, you know, old maybe potentially abandonment issues, all kinds of things are being brought up in the throes of a breakup that need to be neutralized. Well, with ADHD, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be neutralized. And once that those things have been neutralized, that person is going to be functioning optimally. And so whatever their optimal functioning is, that's the level to which they will rise. So they may have some hard wiring in the brain that can't be changed, but you know, with the diathesis stress hypothesis model through, you know, as we know about that, Cal, you've talked about that in quite a few podcasts before, as we get rid of the internal stressors, we neutralize the internal stressors inside, then you can actually function in an optimal way. No longer now is the person responding via the stress, they're actually responding in a balanced way. Do you want to talk more about that, Cal?
Well, one thing, can you tell me a little bit more about what you meant by distracting with distracting?
Yeah, so essentially, what people are dealing with is a lot of unresolved emotion. No matter what they're coming in to see you for, they've got unresolved emotion that's connected to it. And, you know, we are trained in our upbringing to distract from our feelings instead of giving satisfying responses. So for those of you who are trained and know about the secret language of feelings, whether you've read Cal's book or you are a five-pather and you learned it through class or you've heard it through these podcasts, there is a language that our feelings are communicating. And you know, our feelings are communicating particular things to us. And if we try to drink them away or eat them away or work them away, you know, they're still going to be there. In fact, they're not only just going to be there, they're going to get louder and they're going to get bigger over time. And so oftentimes what's happening when somebody's in crisis or when somebody's exhibiting a symptom is they're just exhibiting a symptom of too much emotion. And as we neutralize that emotion, they can come into that natural balance, whether they're dealing with food issues or relationship issues, or they just feel overstressed, or they've got a focus issue. You know, obviously when you've got too much emotion going on inside and it doesn't feel good to be still or to keep your focus on one thing for any particular period of time, you might want to change your focus and change your focus and change your focus and change your focus, because the more you change your focus, the less you have to really feel your feelings. And so sometimes with things like ADHD, it's not just a matter of the brain wiring or the hard wiring. It's not just a matter of them being born with it. Sometimes it's excess emotion that hasn't been resolved, and they're distracting themselves from the excess emotion inside by changing their focus all the time. Does that make sense, Cal?
Yeah, and so that's exactly right. And so they want to add to that. We start talking about ADHD or AD, you know, whatever, or depression, or a lot of these clinical terms have just melted into the normal vernacular. And so you might have someone coming in saying, oh, I'm just really ADD or ADHD, or I've got ADD, or I'm depressed. But they're self-diagnosing. They're just using common terms now to describe how they think they're behaving or feeling. And so just ask them, you know, is that a diagnosis you got from a doctor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist or something? They go, oh, no, it's just what I figure I got. Okay, then let's not use those words. Tell me what's happening. And they say, oh, you know, I'm... And then work on what they describe to you, that they're, you know, I have trouble concentrating. Good. Hypnosis is great for that. Or they'll say, I'm procrastinating. Instead of doing the stuff that's important, like my homework or like whatever it is, writing my book, then what we need to do is be focused. And because what they're doing is, instead of staying focused on the thing, their mind is bouncing to these other things. Because this is the deal. When you're focusing on one thing, then there, and if you've got a feeling inside you don't like, an old fear, an old anger, or whatever, then it keeps bouncing into your consciousness. When it bounces into your consciousness, it breaks your focus, and it feels bad, so then you want to put your attention on something that feels good. Watching TV, for example, or some people will exercise too much, and some people work too much, and whatever the too much behavior is. Oh, guess what? We're just about out of time. I want to say a couple more things. You want to learn more about The Secret Language of Feelings? You can get my book, The Secret Language of Feelings, or you can go to tslof.com. That's shorthand for www.thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. I'll put a link right below. And also, happy birthday to me tomorrow. Sign us off, Meredith.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If we are being clear as mud, please send your questions for clarification or questions about anything else. This is Hypnosis, Etc. So we've got a lot of leeway as to what we will and can cover. We absolutely want to help you to become the best of the profession. I can be contacted directly at Meredith at yourpathhypnosis.com. You can also post your comments and questions at calbanion.com right down there. And there's a myriad of other ways. Ourhypnospace.com, the Ask Cal group, you know, there's the Hypnosis Etc. Facebook page. Please do keep in touch. We really want to build community. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Hey, thank you very much. And this is Cal Banion. But wait, our general manager, Maureen Banion, brought this in, and she says, remember to mention that our new schedule for classes is out for next year. Over there is a navigation bar. Click on the training link, and you will find out that January we have a NGH-approved Banion Hypnosis Super Course, the 5-Path and 7-Path, coming up. April, we have one coming up, and July, we have one coming up, and we always have early registration discounts. And then, if you can wait that long, on the Week of Power, which is our advanced hypnosis course for people who are already certified and have the basics, and they want to get 5-Path and 7-Path, that will begin on October 13th through the 19th, 2013. That's it. Cal Banion, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.